A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right or at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them all and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be this way with you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many." The Gospel of the Lord. This is an incredibly powerful scene in today's Gospel that gets us right into the heart of Lent and where our real desires and focus is. I want to focus on three things. First, did Jesus really say these words? Absolutely, he said these words. I've heard that there are occasionally people who try to pretend that Jesus wouldn't have given the message that he would be crucified because the people couldn't really grasp it and understand it. Jesus really gave it. No, they didn't truly grasp it or understand it, but Jesus clearly said these words. Second point, three times Jesus predicted his passion, that he would have to undergo exactly what he described here, that he would be mocked, scourged, and crucified and raised on the third day. First time was at Caesarea Philippi, right after St. Peter confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of living God, and right after Jesus had confessed Simon, son of Jonah, to be the rock on whom he would build his church. As soon as Jesus said this, Jesus heard Peter rebuke him and say, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Jesus called him Satan and told him to get behind him, to follow him rather than to lead. That was the first time. The second time was right after Jesus was transfigured and they had come down the mountain. And Jesus heard them bickering about who of them was the greatest. And then the third time is today, after Jesus poured out his guts about what would happen to him, that he would be tortured and killed. Their first reaction, or at least the action of the mother of the sons of Zebedee, probably with their participation, according to St. Mark's version of the same scene, came on up and asked for the greatest seats, the greatest places when Jesus would enter into his kingdom. When Jesus was describing what his focus was, all they were really concerned with was not Jesus, but their own piece of the pie. There's a real lesson there for our own prayer. Are we really focused on what Jesus is focused on? Or are we focused on our own place in Jesus' kingdom? It's perpetually an issue. We can very easily follow in the footsteps of these apostles who really loved the Lord. It wasn't that they didn't love him, but that they were concerned far more about themselves and their own needs and their own interests and their own desires and their own ambitions than they were about what he was going to accomplish. real culmination of Lent happens in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus teaches us truly how to pray, not my will, but yours be done. And that we need to have our flesh strengthened to be able to accord not only with our spirit of wanting to do what the Lord wants, but also the Holy Spirit who will give us that power to do what the Lord wants. But we really have to ask ourselves this morning, what do I really want of my relationship with the Lord? Do I want these things? Or do I want what he wants? And what does he want? He wants us to die to ourselves this Lent. He wants us to deny ourselves totally so that we might be able to follow him all the way without any ambition drawing and quartering us in another direction. He asks us the same way that he asked them, can you drink my chalice? Can you drink the chalice I'm about to drink? That's what it means to follow him. For some of us, like Saints Perpetua and Felicity, whose feast we celebrate today, that is the cup of martyrdom. For many of us, it's the cup of daily life that we're constantly trying to live in union with him. But whatever it is, we need to drink that cup. There was an ancient Roman coin with an oxen on it. And there were two objects in front of the ox. One was an altar. The second was a yoke. And a small little inscription in Latin that said, ready for both. That quick slaughter on the altar, which we could equate to martyrdom, or the yoke that would be a lifetime of work, but that in of itself would be the way to drink the chalice. For some of us, it might be a quick death of lots of suffering. For other of us, it might be that cross of constant self-death to ourselves each day, following the way of the grain of wheat, so that we might bear great fruit. But are we ready for both? Can we say, like James and John, we can? James would be the first apostle to die, 42 BC, there in Jerusalem. John would be the last apostle to die, and he wouldn't even die a martyr. But are we ready for both? Because the Lord extends that chalice. Third thing I want to mention is about how we're supposed to drink that chalice, if it is the chalice of the yoke, if it is the path of John. Jesus describes the way we're going to become great, what our holy ambition ought to be. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first shall be your slave. That we, just like Jesus did at the Last Supper when he, imitating a slave, washed the feet of his disciples. So we need to do whatever it takes to be able to serve others in love. That is the path. Then Jesus says something very interesting. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. Jesus, in this is in everything, isn't merely telling us what to do, but he's saying, follow me along this path of self-sacrificial love. Follow me in drinking this chalice to the dregs, both via the yoke and via the Holocaust and the altar. We now have this expression for many, right at the point where Jesus gives us his body and blood. Controversial in some areas that it was changed to be literal to the translation, that Jesus died for you and for many, changing from all, for all. And a whole bunch of people started to lose it and say, does that mean that Jesus didn't die for everybody? He died for everybody. But the reality is, only the ones who receive that gift are the ones who will be saved. That unfortunately, it's not all who will be saved, but only those who receive this gift of salvation, who receive that chalice, who drink it. That's why our Lent is so important for us to take seriously these words. just as much as Jesus truly said them 2,000 years ago, so he truly says them today. This is what happened to him. This is the path we need to follow. And this is good news. Just in the same way Good Friday led to the greatest victory ever. Today, let us ask him through the intercession of Saint Perpetua and Felicity for us to take these lessons seriously. Having heard what he would do for our salvation, let us respond not by jockeying for position in this world or in the next, but running after that towel to wash others' feet, running after that chalice of Christ to drink it to the dregs, running toward the altar or toward the yoke, ready for both, saying, "With your help, O God, I can too."